They do a nice.
And how is that new arrangement working out for them? Does Tom still own that, or do they own the whole thing?
No, he opted not to sell Diamond Mills after he sold it, and had buyer's remorse.
No,
or seller's remorse. I mean, yeah. He had four. He tried to sell Diamond Mills for 14.4 offers, and he interviewed all four. Didn't think any one of them was going to operate it the way he wanted it to be, kind of like a small town, neighborhood friendly. So he refused. Yeah, he turned them all down. Hey, Kevin.
But we're good.
And then he kind of changed his mind to get off the market. He's going in now. You know.
Oh, that. Is he, have you ever stayed there?
No, me neither. Nice.
I've been, my niece had her wedding there. And I've been to a bunch of stuff here. It is really, it's a good job.
That's a great job. And you know, there, we'll do a breakfast, Brian. He'll be there busting the tables.
I know. He was there. We went for, I forget what it was one time, but he was busting the tables and his son.
Yeah, and his wife. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It can't be too far. He's got the place in the city also, you know. He said, that's really changed the New York City restaurant scene. You don't have all those people in Manhattan like you used to have.
When's the last time you were there to take a trip just to go to the city?
Yeah.
Me too. And my daughter lived there. I used to go 100 times a year, practically, right?
He said you couldn't get in the place before the pandemic. Now he says any Tuesday, Wednesday, or Monday, just come right in. Friday's still a little bit of a wait. Saturday, but... How many people opted to work from home since the pandemic from the city?
Yeah.
Can you blame them?
And plus, it's tough down there now. I mean, my daughter, when a lot of kids went to school, she went to school and then stayed there for another 7 or 8 years.
Yeah.
She made a lot of friends who still live there. Mm-hmm. And they come down to visit her. They say, we're moving back.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I think that. It's 4:30, actually 4:31. I'm sorry, we're late. We have a court.
Yeah.
So I'd like to get us going. I know Megan is turning up. She's on her way, but she's running late. She was to our helicopter or something like that. But she's running up late. So we'll start with a roll call.
Gregory Simpson.
Here.
Here.
Here. Brian Cahill.
I'm here.
Megan Marks-Texting. Measure Elias. Yeah, that work complex.
With notes.
And Christopher Cerrone.
Okay. Can we move to...
I'll make a motion to adopt the agenda as presented.
We have a second.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Irvine, I always have things to say. Come on.
No, I'm good.
All right, let's roll. All in favor?
Aye.
Approval of the minutes for May 6th.
So move.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. So now we get to the introduction of partner from ESPR Group. This is John Castillo. Hi, John.
Hello.
So happy that you could be here. And we look forward to hearing what you have to share.
Okay. So I'm John Castillo. I'm the engagement partner in charge of the engagement. So we've already been in contact with Chris Jaros and requested information to start the audit. We are doing it virtual, so we have a share file where they upload stuff. It's a cloud-based secure website. So anything that goes there, nobody else can get to except us and those authorized to access the file. So like I said, we've already started. We sent in some additional requests based on the preliminary information that we have received. And we currently have staff working on your audit.
Okay.
Is there anything unusual that you'd like to report on? I'm being I'm just asking questions. If there's nothing, there's nothing. But
is there
are there any things that you want to highlight other than the things that you've highlighted? Is there anything else, or are we good?
Right now, there's nothing out of the ordinary. Again, we have to start. We're just getting in some of the requests that we had put in based off the preliminary information. So, but so far, nothing looks out of the ordinary. And
okay, we have one question.
Hi, Brian Cahill, I'm a board member here. Just a quick question. Over the last couple of years, there's been some areas highlighted from our county controller and a couple other folks along the way. Are you getting that correspondence as to where those issues arose and to what to look for, you know, going forward here? Because that's one of the reasons why we, you know, want to get an outside auditor, or for those reasons, right?
Yes, I have seen the reports that the comptroller has issued. Again, we have to get some more information in and go through those. They're quite extensive.
Thank you. That's really what I wanted to just verify, that you are, you know, in fact, looking at the same things that, you know, were raised previously.
Yes, we will be looking into those.
Thank you.
And as the audit goes on, if you're finding things that look a little strange or you have issue with, please correspond with us right away. Don't wait for the final report to put it in there. Just keep in contact with us.
Yeah. Yes, we never surprise anybody with a final report. Any issues that we do detect are discussed prior, and you get the wording of how our report's going to look. We discuss it. We make sure we have the relevant information and we're not using information that is factually incorrect. And again, it's all discussed prior to the report being released. We never spring findings on anybody.
Thanks. John, are you meeting with our accountant, our CFO, on a weekly? How's this working in terms of the logistics?
We've been sending emails, but we don't have any set meetings at the moment.
Okay.
Yes.
Right.
So, try to speak. I've been uploading constantly to the client portal they set up. Sam's been helping out with that too. I think we hit just about everything that you asked so far.
Okay. I'll have to check with the staff on the job, make sure they're doing what they're supposed to be doing and we've received what we need. So I'll be looking into that shortly, making, you know.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks,
John.
Nice meeting you.
You're
John.
Welcome.
Did you have a question?
No, I just had a quick question, John. I mean, you know what the crisis has been saying, and certainly there's been mention of that. But in terms of your analysis, you know, a lot of the receipts were on a cash basis. Are you going to be doing a modified accrual basis of accounting, or are you going to do the strictly accrual?
We usually do a accrual based on materiality and individually significant items. Those are our procedures we have to perform, and anything we find we'll make the accrual adjustment for, but we don't go looking into the minutia of it. We pick up the larger items just because of what the calculations say are individually significant.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thanks so much, John, and look forward to hearing from you again soon.
Okay, sounds good.
That's great.
Okay, thank you. Have a nice afternoon.
Thank you, Rich.
Okay, we're on to officers' reports, and Amanda.
Good afternoon, everyone. Lovely to see many of you again. so shortly. You know, we had our iCard press event just a week ago on Monday. And that was a nice gathering at iPark in order to mark that EQUITA has executed the master lease agreement. And also what had, between our last meeting, we see the meeting on the 6th of May, authorized the execution of that agreement until the press event last week. Was in the paper, but just to note for everyone that BOCES, the Ulster County Board, BOCES had also authorized a lease for over 100,000 square feet of space, moving their whole entire career and technical center, which is currently in Port Ewan, to iPark. And that was actually part of the delay in us finalizing our space and our work letter with iPark to accommodate BOCES and their kind of needs as a school, as far as busing and security and intake and things like that. In addition, it was also mentioned at that meeting that there was the Town of Ulster Planning Board approved certain parts of the site plan for iPark, and that also happened I believe about a week and a half ago. So that's another big update on kind of the site work there. We'll be touching a little bit more on that a little later in the report with the correspondence. So I just wanted to kind of update folks on that. The other item we have here for my report right now is correspondence from National Resources. There was, just to recap for everyone's benefit, there was the request from iPark for the 2-year deferment that we got earlier in the year. We drafted a letter after the board directed me to that indicated that we were willing to entertain a 1-year deferral. That was sent to National Resources, I believe, February or March, I have the date somewhere. Verbally, they were very responsive to the 1-year deferment. However, in the packet is this memo from iCARC on April 26th. And this is primarily from the Attorney General for National Resources. And there's three kind of requests or asks of UCEDA in this memo. The first one, I'm going to take them out of order. Request number 2 is going back and asking for a 2-year deferment instead of the 1-year deferment.
Can I just interrupt you for a moment? Is that the sublease for Ulster? Is that what you're looking at? But that's, I don't have it.
So it's actually in that subfolder 2. I'm going to back up and just explain. So in subfolder 2 is a memo, a PDF of a memo that looks like this on the heading.
At the bottom.
Got it.
And then there's additional documentation in that folder that all have to deal with the master plan for
iPark.
The reason why we put all that stuff in the folder was just for ease of access, because it's not very easy to get off other websites. So there's a very large file in there, and I apologize about that, but that's just in case you wanted to look for any document that it was all in there. Okay, so in this memo, they're asking for 3 things. One, they're back to asking for a 2-year deferment instead of a 1-year deferment. We had a rather robust conversation on that previously, so I'll just kind of leave that there. Number 1, then they're also asking for additional partial relief on the East Campus. And if you remember back in 2023, starting in April, and then actually coming into when Legislator Litz was our acting chair, there was a request for a partial release, meaning that some of the parcels of the whole number of parcels that we had here were removed from the mortgage, so that they were no longer against the mortgage note, thus allowing them to be used as collateral in other loans. And that was, you know, stated by IPARC to be necessary in order to get the construction loans for the commercial building. That was executed. They're now asking for additional releases on additional parcels that would similarly be where they're planning to build the residential units and be, again, that they need those parcels for the collateral for the loans for the residential development.
So that, he's looking for phase two there, right? So phase two is currently demolished flat, correct?
Yes. And then the last ask memo is that certain, in the purchase and sale agreement, which lives along with the note, so it doesn't, this document is in effect as long as the note is in effect. There are a couple of different types of reverters in the purchase and sale agreement. There's one that's related to, you know, like a default, right, as far as non-payment or other action. But there's also another one, and it's called the completion reverter, where there are several different things. They have to clean up the piles of asbestos-containing material, you know, set forth in the EPA, you know, memo. Within 36 months, they have to renovate and rehabilitate and rent at least 100,000 square feet of building. So that's the third ask in this memo. Is that there?
And also, wasn't there 100,000 square feet of new construction that was supposed to be done by year whatever?
I'm not sure if that's in the completion reverter, or maybe if that's somewhere else in the it's 100,000 square feet of rentable commercial space. Construction, renovation, or rehabilitation. Rehabilitation. No less than 100,000 square feet. So if I may, I think that this number three ask, kind of hard to get a sense of it in the memo, but once they went back into the PSA, I'm like, well, they might have done this. So I think it might be reasonable for the board to request an itemized documentation, potentially receive some type of documentation for the fulfillment of the requirements of the completion reverter. So I think that could be, it would be reasonable because it certainly doesn't, it certainly didn't provide it in the memo. So that's number three. I don't know if there are other thoughts on.
So, and we're going to, I guess, do we want to put the timeline in there as well? Reverters that we're going to, because he's asking to remove them, right?
So I think this is something that we should engage specifically Harris Beach on, because again, this is, I can start with the county attorney's office, Herb, if you would.
Yes,
like.
Please. Okay. We're already paying him.
Right. So, but someone beyond me to read the PSA and say whether or not, you know, how this kind of fits together.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
well, in any case, we should be asking County Council for their input before we do any of this.
Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, ultimately, we would need input from the County Attorney's Office and documentation from National Resources that they had actually performed this work in order to entertain altering this agreement to remove.
And what's the date? What's the date on that ask?
This ask. April 25th.
Pre-signing the leases. He was going to the bank looking for money, looking for collateral, you know, whatever. And he's asking them and asking us before he had signed leases, which now puts him in a better light with the financial institutions to be able to acquire the funds for construction or whatever. So, does he really need it now? Or, I mean, it'd be nice.
The new leases, there's the releases that he's asking for is for the southern portion of the property for what would be residential. So it's kind of a different. We've already
financial.
I mean, I know that we're not privy publicly to what his plans are. Is it possible that this is needed for him to do other development other than what we're aware of? In other words, are other companies looking at it that may need to have some sort of ability to borrow money to accommodate other companies coming in? Is that something? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, we're doing a lot of transactions right now with iPark that significantly change our original agreement with them. And I want to see them move forward. And I have a gut feeling that there's more to this than meets the eye when it comes to what their plans are and, you know, where they are with other folks, you know, because they, you know, from the time they started talking, there were many people who he mentioned that were interested in coming.
Yeah, it does state in this memo that the 2023 release for the mm-hmm. last year's release was necessary to facilitate the financing and construction of phase one redevelopment that enabled iPark to close on financing with Orange Bank and Trust, which financing was used to improve the properties and mm-hmm. pay for tenant improvements associated with Archtop, OCs, and the county lease. So they do state that in the, that it was.
Well, actually, it says right in there that Provident does want it.
Right, and then that's what it says in for when they go on to ask for the.
So he's asking us to, you know, lay it out in front of him, and then he'll follow along with getting his finances, and then continue on with that phase two building based on us, you know, what do we call
giving
it?
Up release, our mortgage,
release mortgage kind of
collateral. So there are two other documents. There's this spreadsheet that was shared with the board in the packet. And then there's also in the one subfolder, and can't move that, should have been higher in the hierarchy, is this site plan.
Yeah.
If folks saw that. Mm-hmm. And I just want to briefly talk about this because it was part of the master plan approval. Is this lot line adjustment correct? Was this done as part of the master plan approval last?
So my name is Dennis Doyle. I'm the planning director. We have. I'm going to take a quick look at this. So a couple of things. One is that there was an approval by the town board in Ulster of a site plan relative to the project. As part of that approval, there was a realignment of the lots that were associated with it. The town decided that it wasn't going to go through a full subdivision process. So they basically took the lots and reassigned them. There's the same number of lots, but they're reassigned in various places. So when you look at that, you're holding a mortgage on lots that no longer reflect the assets as they're currently being assigned by the town. Mm. So the real concern, I think, is not so much in terms of releasing the mortgage. It's actually knowing what you're releasing and what assets you currently hold,
mm-hmm.
Given the fact town has moved things around, and I don't know whether you have your mortgages in a lot line description or a meets and bounds description. If it's in a lot line or a lot description by section, block, and lot, then those section lots and lots are going to be reassigned to different assets. That creates all kinds of issues, as you can think about it. It creates all kinds of issues of what assets do you own or don't own, or do you have or not have mortgages against. There are some things that you can do to look at that. There's some good things. Some assets that are being moved or very small assets are moving parcels that are very larger assets. Some assets, for example, the master lot is being moved to neighborhood of about 30 acres. So you need to think about that and look at that, how those values change. And the current spreadsheet, if I'm stepping over your discussion, may let me know. Current spreadsheet has something called remaining value. The remaining value is there. And they add up to the mortgage, your mortgage collateral on the bottom. The thought that you need to think about is do these actually reflect values as the lots are changed? Mm-hmm. There are, in my opinion, clearly if the lots are moved, they would not. And all you have is a section block a lot description. There may be easier ways out of that. There may be ways to look at how you assign those mortgages. But if he's looking at the lots that he's asking you to request release from, which is all of the stuff that's associated with the residential area, the only lot that's not associated with the residential area that's left, lot F, which is the former larger parcel that has now been significantly reduced in size. You've already done a partial release on that lot. You may want to start to think about what, assuming you're concerned about your amount of collateral versus the amount of mortgage, you may want to start to think about what that looks like. And that may be the simplest thing to do rather than try to fool around with the changes that have been done by the town.
To orient folks to this spreadsheet, which is also in the packet, the yellow are the lots that we, in 2023, released from the mortgage. The salmon color pink thing are the newly requested releases from the mortgage. The existing value, and again, that's from a 2022 appraisal of the property, the existing value from there versus the loan amount is here, along with the percentage, the ratio of coverage. And then again, down below in the salmon color is the what is currently being requested or proposed, and it would result in using the fair market value of the lots as they existed before the lot line adjustment would come out to somewhere around under one. So to the principal.
What are you recommending? Are you recommending reassessment?
So, the number one policy question for the board is, does it want to hold assets equal to its market? That's the number one policy question.
Mm-hmm.
The second question of that is how to make that, if you do, how to make that the simplest way to do that, mm-hmm. assuming that the current assets that you have been shifted by the town and you no longer have those assets or they're not adequately described.
Mm-hmm.
If that is the case, then perhaps what ends up happening is you take a good hard look at lot F, which is the only remaining lot. Well, there's one on the other side of the road. This is a treatment plant lot, but the major lot is that's left for you to have a conversation about is lot F. You partially released that. You need about $3.9 or $4 million. I looked at this real quick. So in terms of total mortgages, and see if lot F in its new format essentially can appraise at that, and then simply have the discussion with him as we'll release this so he can go get his bank financing, continue to move ahead, but we want to basically reattach something to lot F that appraises out at where you need it.
Yeah, so real quick, so the coverage ratio with the proposed changes will be just under one, as you stated, right? But is that considered the improvements that he's made to the parcel, or is this based on your initial assessment of the property? Because he's made substantial improvements to some of those buildings.
We've already released most of those
parcels. Right. But that means, though, right.
It's whether or not it's impacted positively the value of the other parcels that have not been improved.
Right. And that's really where I'm going. It's like, are the improvements that he's making to the site, does that impact, benefit the other parcels? Does that make parcel B, C, D more valuable because he's improving these others, right?
The thing I would say is that the last column over, which is the remaining value, you really just sort of throw that over your shoulder and say we can't pay a lot of attention to it because that asset no longer exists as described in your original. So that gives you the thought to think about this in terms of what improvements he has made, particularly with respect to Lot F and the investments he's made in Lot F. Establish a new value for Lot F if that's where you decide to go. And Kevin just, sort of said to me that, don't have to essentially have a one-to-one ratio relative to your mortgage versus your collateral.
Nice, but
you don't have to. That's the policy decision you need.
Yeah. I mean, and we're real close anyway.
Yeah. When you think of it, it's really arbitrary. The mortgage is held by a bank.
Right.
You have a self-position. What we're really saying here is that we would like to have land that has value, but it's not securing the mortgage.
Yeah.
So it's either all or nothing.
Yeah.
Well, two things I'd like to know. One, is our agreement by meets and bounds or by lots? Because if it's by meets and bounds, the town can change whatever they want, but our property is still our property because it's by meets and bounds. That's number one, and that's going to affect a lot of our decision here because it really doesn't change our mortgage. If it's by lots, then it's a different story, which I don't know why the town would change all these lots when, well, anyway.
I can't imagine how many times those lots have been changed since IBM lost the property. Probably dozens of times.
Right, but hopefully our agreement's by meets and bounds, because then you have this is it.
Which I think, would that say yes? I mean, by that. It's just a parcel ID number.
Okay. Well, they're equating.
The same.
So they're equating. Yeah. And so,
yeah.
But what they're doing is they're renaming lot 12 here.
Right.
With more acreage.
Right. Well, that's that.
What's the answer?
And it is.
We need an answer.
It's this.
Yeah. It's by SPL. It's not by.
So it's by lots.
Right. By lots. So that. When they reconfigure this, that changes everything.
Yeah,
I mean, and I would think even the banks that
are
already primary, they might have concern as well. I don't know.
We've expressed some concern relative to doing this without going through a full subdivision review. I did not to do that.
Yeah.
And they went through just moving the decks around, the chairs on the deck around.
I don't like that.
Also,
I think that.
Yeah, I know. But we also expressed some concern relative to how the easements are going to work because you actually own a piece of parcel in the back that has an agreement and making sure that you would have the right to develop it should that agreement fall through without the necessary easements across that. And then last but not least, the one parcel, I think it's parcel E in the new scheme, it actually consists of nothing but roads and access points. And so if there's, God forbid, there's not taxes paid on it, the county would have to basically foreclose on a lot that essentially has nothing but roads on it, but accesses a residential parcel. Not likely that we're going to foreclose on it and not likely that he has to pay taxes on it, which is a good situation for us to be in.
Don't they typically go to you first and ask for your...
They overrule the county plan.
Yeah.
They do that regularly.
I would like to just for the board. I found this today in the resolution, so that the town board hereby overrides the Ulster County Planning Board's required modifications consistent with the above, notably including the specific project phasing as proposed by the planning board, certain community character elements, certain traffic calming features, including internal speed bumps, and the requested minimum 10% affordable housing set. Those were overruled.
I don't know. Doesn't leave.
Welcome to the town hall. They get property value increase.
Doesn't impact your decision.
It does not.
It does not.
Yeah.
So releasing property or releasing mortgage, does that make it easier for them to flip the property?
Not. He wouldn't. This would be like basically landlocked. This piece of property, though, that he's trying to phase two is right in the middle of everything. Right. I'm looking at the right thing here. See, that's not the right one.
We still have the mortgage, has the dot 270 parcel, which is the master parcel, so all the parking lots and kind of the roads and kind of the nooks and crannies. So that's still against the mortgage.
Yeah. So we've released what we thought was, I don't know, parcel, I don't remember now, but it was like parcel A, B, and C, I think, at the time, which now turns into A, B, C, which is a completely different parcel, right? And phase two right now is locked. I don't think he would flip that. I mean, I don't know. I can't see any scenario where we would flip that parcel, right, Megan? It's in the middle of everything. Unless he wants to put a Costco there, I don't know.
So, from my perspective, absent the county planning board's recommendations, the proposal in front of UCEDA for a release for the mortgages on it as it relates to the parcels, as they've been sort of reassigned, like they've been reassigned to different areas, is cogent. And it's legitimate because the first thing he needs to do is essentially, he's always been consistent with this with the town, was to develop the residential portions of the property. And those, what the releases that he's asking for, given the reassignment of the parcels, are for those residential portions.
Right.
If you think about it from looking at bank financing versus you hold, as what Kevin explained, there's a legitimate reason to do that. And that gets you to the point where basically saying, are you comfortable in terms of the amount of collateral you hold? And is there a different place to look for collateral? And that brings me to Lot F, which I pointed out to you. But I would not say that there's where you're at any some sort of disadvantage, and it does advantage him considerably to release it.
Which we did, which was the same way when we released the first days, right? I mean, you know, so I always go back to, you know, I mean, do we want to become an impediment to him developing the site? Right? Is that what we want to do, or right, do we want to be a good partner? And I know that we can't just keep giving stuff away month after month after month, you know.
We've been negotiating with him, and you know, just doing the quick math in my head, I don't know what residential project total project cost would be. Let's just say it's $30 million. And where the full value is right now, and the property's being proposed to release somewhere around
$640,000.
I mean, that's 10% of his capital.
That's right. Right.
So I think this is an opportunity for us, in good faith, you know, we've been giving up a lot to say to him, we need certain ways. I'd like to see the term sheet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a commitment. What are the covenants? Because we are the mortgagor, and we should see that information, understand what his financial project is, and where the risk are.
Mm-hmm.
So, something to think about, but in terms of the economics, I mean, $640 gets a $39 deal, but it doesn't when you think about it. Now, I don't know what the total project costs for the residential.
It may not just be a dollar amount, it also may be a title amount. That I think is the more compelling reason to think that, sitting in the background and have a title amount. But I don't disagree with
that. I mean, there are three issues that he's trying to
have to address, and we're addressing one. We still have to address, well, it's all tied together, obviously, but...
That was going to be my question. Are they? Can we do two and three without doing one, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's a good question, right? Are they tied together? If they are tied together, then we probably have a little bit more things to do. But we already made, as a board, we already talked about this two-year deferment. And
so why are they coming back asking for two again when we said one?
Yes, Kevin.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, Joe verbally agreed to a one-year.
So what's the deal here? What's going on?
I don't know. That's again, I haven't seen there. I'm inclined to say stick to 1 year. I mean, they're already
possibly not been updated.
1,000 over here.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was paying up in January. For deciding the lease, certainly there may be some timing issues. Now, to your point, that we sign the leases, I think you'll start to get that cash flow coming by the Precious States. So there may be a different environment operating on that. But, you know, he did agree to a one-year deferment.
Yeah, but he sent a letter to requesting two, so...
His lawyer.
Joe says yes. His lawyer said no.
Yeah, as we know, I mean, people can say anything as soon as the lawyers get involved. It's a whole different kettle of fish. So
I mean, you know, in the end, the attorney works for Joe. So if Joe says he wants to do a year, then we're going to do a year. So maybe, I don't know.
Well, it's part of the negotiation, but he did verbally agree to 1 year. In good faith. And this is business world.
How far is he behind right now? Like 7 months?
700. Means about 4 or 5 months.
It's going to be 6 months June 1st. Great.
Yeah,
we tell him 2 years, including the 6 months he hasn't already paid.
No.
No, I mean, 1 year, 6 months, so he's really only getting six.
Nope.
So he gets a year once he pays us the 6 months.
Yep.
Oh,
and the other thing, before I vote on the other thing, right now we say, okay, we'll release the mortgage on lot 12. Lot 12 does not exist in our mortgage as it does with the town. I would like a separate agreement set up by their lawyer, because they're asking for it, stipulating lot 12 is this, lot 13 is this, because that does not exist in our agreement now.
If I may, it's Lovely Map has a letter, a number, and then an SBO,
mm-hmm.
right? So what they're really, we're really going by the SBL. So each one of these SBLs map to a parcel that we still have mortgage on. So I think, and it still maps to the mortgage.
Okay.
And it maps to the letter.
I'll introduce a little confusion, especially in the effort of transparency and everything else we've been banged upon. Take your map that you have there under the existing. What's the acreage for lot 12? 1 acre. On the new map,
right.
What's the acreage for lot 12? 4.3 acres.
Correct. And that's...
So, you know, to the outside person who thinks we're doing stuff behind closed doors, oh, you give them another 3.3 acres for the same lot. I'm not going to agree to any of that until that gets cleared up. So lot 12 is lot 12 in our agreement equal to what it is, what we're releasing the mortgage on.
I think I understand the point, but I'm not sure if it's even possible to connect those. I think it may get to...
It is possible by an amendment to our agreement.
The question of, you know, what's the value, the fair market value, because that's what...
You know, so I really don't care too much about that, to be honest with you. I want to be clear on what we're releasing the mortgage on, no matter what the value is. Lot 12 is lot 12.
Well, are you talking about what we already released or what he's requesting we release? Because they're two different things.
All of the above.
Because I think, you know,
Because, you know, we've been banged recently within months about not being transparent. Looks like deals being made behind the scenes. I don't want to feed into that because that'll be the next press release that we get.
So what has changed, if you look at this chart, right, it does have the STLs and it has an acreage. If we go by the lot line adjustment that was just approved, we're going to have new acreages, right? So we don't exactly know how that would affect the value, or to be explicit about, like, here we go, lot SBL ending in 0.120 now has gone from being an old building footprint in between the two main building footprints. Being a 4-acre,
which means he originally you couldn't flip that. It's between two buildings, you can't sell it. But we're down in the corner. That's a separate piece of property.
Yeah, I'm not sure. So there's some with all these changes in lot size.
Go open that door, please.
How could we not?
I don't want anybody accusing us that we're having a closed door meeting.
Because how could we not?
So let me
can't get in the legislative office anyway.
Or reassess.
Let me see if I can sort of walk you through, because I think Herb is correct. Mm-hmm. I think the idea that you have an agreement that references lots on a section, block, and lot.
That's a legal agreement.
Right.
Everything else is proposed there.
Block and lot starts to change, and we don't know how they're finally going to be assigned. That basically you update your agreement to basically reflect the what's in front of you now in terms of what we think are going to be the new lots as they're filed. Because we haven't seen the file. To the best of my knowledge, we haven't seen the file.
And the reasoning for doing that is because the town of Ulster has already.
Right. And that's what you reference. You reference that approval, et cetera, et cetera. So that takes you in terms of what lots are we talking about and where they are on the map.
Mm-hmm.
And the next question that you asked is, do we have to reassess all the parcels on that have now changed?
Mm-hmm.
The short answer I would give you is, if you want to continue to hold those as a asset, then the answer should be yes. If you want to release those as an asset and find your asset somewhere else, then the answer would be no, because you're going to release them. You don't care what the value is on them, as long as you can pick up the value somewhere else. And the value somewhere else that I was suggesting was the large parcel, which is parcel F.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether he has mortgages on that or he has concerns about that, but that's what I would suggest.
But if we are thinking about doing that, then we need to assign a new value to parcel F.
That's
right.
Correct.
Well, but if you're going to go through that exercise to assign a new value to parcel F, we might just as well, at least, you don't have to do A, you don't have to do B, you don't have to do C, but you can do A, B, C, D, and F, or A, B, C, and D as this value,
right,
and F is that value. Because then people can look at it and say, oh, okay. The new value of F is more than what the mortgage holding was on A, B, and C. Therefore, okay, they're not giving them anything, and they're being upfront and clear about it and transparent.
Mm-hmm. Megan has a question.
Yeah, I do have a question, and I'm wondering logistically how does that?
His lawyer does. There's no reason for us to incur additional expenses to do something that he is asking for. Sorry.
No, can we just have a lawyer do it, or do we need to get other people involved?
I don't know how you establish the values on the first place. Were they based on assessed values? Is that what they based them on?
Appraisal for this.
Or you based them on an appraised value?
So if you go back to the appraiser who did all the work, right? Have them refresh the appraisal and then look at the new.
So we should have them pay for
partials.
I'm not understanding how we can, with all of these changes in acreage and changes in lot size, how we could not be considering seriously a reassessment. I mean, I don't know how
we could be doing this week.
Why don't we want to reassess it? Why doesn't he want to reassess it?
I mean, hold on, opposite to him, he didn't receive the title for economics. Don't make sense to me, but in terms of the amendment, the mortgage note, you have to reassess it just to get the true value.
I don't see how else you can do this. I just don't see how else you could possibly do this.
Especially,
unless I'm missing something completely.
I think that Mr. Litz has laid out a cogent reason to reassess them as economic units. Basically, said, here's what we're leasing, not individual parcels, but an economic unit. We do this for agriculture, quite frankly. And then the other, the larger parcel is an economic unit, and assess them that way. It's individual releasing getting, and therefore it equals out. The discussion I had with you earlier was, do you really care what that economic unit is and what you're releasing if the value that you're keeping is essentially equal to the mortgage that you need? That's all. That's the difference. I think.
And in order to be able to make that decision, you need to know what the evaluation is.
I agree.
And I don't have a problem, and I'm gonna bite my tongue when I say this, having Harrison Beach do it.
So we had
an amendment process.
I mean, we had a professional appraisal to sell it.
But didn't that legally go through Harrison? Did we pay for that separately?
It was separate.
As long as
they paid for it, we paid the bill, they reimbursed us.
Right, that's what I'm saying. And I don't have a problem doing that again as long as I park 87, because this is their proposal.
Mm-hmm.
We can stick with what we have, and I would be totally happy with that. But he needs to juggle his finances to get more money up front to do the work that he needs to do to make things buildable or saleable. And this is his proposal, these three things. So I feel it's incumbent upon iPark 87 to come to us with whatever we need to make that amendment, and they pay for it.
Okay. Same thing with the documentation on the whether they've, you know, done substantial completion.
Yep.
And it all
needs to go through the county attorney.
Is there a motion on the table? Is there a motion somewhere floating on?
Well, we don't have anything to vote on, right? If we don't act on it, we haven't made a motion to anything other than discuss the CEO report.
You're just giving Amanda instructions on negotiations. I don't think we need a motion for that. Negotiation. That's what I go back to them with. We have a motion to have Amanda.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, if you want a motion, I'll make one.
No, I don't need a motion, but I'm asking for clarity's sake, just to make sure that, you know, on the record,
yeah,
if we need to officially do this.
We're going to re-engage about I'm going to find the 2022 appraisal that was done for the property.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the bill for that because it was included as part of the closing statement. So we have that document. Because we are dealing with the attorney for iPark, it's going through Harris Beach right now. So mm-hmm. I have to ask Harris Beach, I'll send an email specifying what we want for item one and for item three, and then what do you want? Item three will be simply that, you know, we're willing to entertain that as long as they provide the documentation. Mm-hmm. We'll ask that they provide itemized documentation. Okay.
I would rephrase that, not say we're willing to entertain it. We're willing to look at it further.
Okay.
Hello.
And then for item two, that's the one for 2 years versus 1 year of the note. So is there a specific feeling of converting that right now? Or no?
I was willing to go a year, but I'm not willing to go 2 years.
think the board already voted in that way.
Yeah, okay.
So, I mean,
whether or not
go back and say no, we don't wonder.
Have a gentleman's agreement.
Okay.
Yes, mm-hmm. Kevin, you have something to
say. I would just add that the conversation was also about a 2-year option at the discretion of the board. Right?
Mm-hmm.
What that means is we would have to see construction reports as well as financial justify doing. But that only occurs at the discretion. So we can have full disclosure. Just an option. Not to give it.
Well, we can give him 1 year, and then he can come back and ask for another year.
Right.
With all those contingencies in mind. Yeah. All right.
Sounds generous. But,
yeah.
You know, we're going to give you a year, and then you can come back and ask us again.
I think, I think that's kind of fair, right? I mean, he's publicly stated he wants to break ground in literally 3 or 4 months. Mm-hmm. Right? Fall, right?
Mm-hmm.
On the apartments.
Yeah.
So, I mean, some incentive there to want to.
Yeah. That's a heavy lift.
Especially since the kids are still playing soccer there. So.
Is there anything else we want to move? Can we move forward to the next agenda? This is CARES 2 update.
This is
Sam.
Sam, CARES 2 update. This is in the packet. Just to remind folks, we have a little update.
So just in summary of what I put in the packet for you all, CARES 2, the total amount first was $538,550.60. These are now final numbers. They do include disbursements that are in progress, but the comptroller's office has signed off on both of the ones that are in process. Finance will be cutting the checks on Thursday for them. So these are hard and fast numbers. We are done. Agreements expire May 31st. There will not be any renewals. For CARES 2, we de-obligated $42,370.68. The majority of that is the program delivery fee and the program administration fee.
Mm-hmm.
Only $186.68 were from actual awards to businesses that were de-obligated. For CARES 2.1, the total amount disbursed was $387,423.23. Same thing, agreements expire on May 31st. These are hard and fast numbers. Total amount de-obligated is $8,187.77. The bulk of that is from the Dixon Roadside Award, which they submitted one disbursement for. It wasn't their total award, and then the business is unfortunately closed. And so we decided that we wouldn't entertain any more reimbursement.
It'll be a tease at night or there next week.
And I saw that.
For 1 week.
Yeah, for 1 week. So in total, there was $925,973.83 distributed to local Ulster County businesses, and the total number of businesses assisted were 38. I am putting together an annual performance report that I'll send to businesses starting in June so they can get back to me with, you know, answers to a couple of questions. How many employees did they have to start with? How many did they have now? Did they make any hires as a result of this grant, et cetera, et cetera? And then I can report back at the end of the summer with what they get back to me with.
And I think once we have all of that in a final report, we have a press release.
Mm.
We haven't got any marketing and PR money, do we, anywhere? I mean, many of these businesses are on social media, even a 15, 30-second video of them thanking the county for the
Stonehouse
Tavern allowing us to build the gazebo that they built. Well, I mean, it takes,
you get an intern.
Alejandro Duran Sanchez, a young fellow just graduated from Ulster a couple of years ago, has been doing a lot of the media stuff, very reasonable. It would take 5, 6, 8 hours. And just a thought.
That's a good idea.
I like that.
Put it on the UCA website as well.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's also, if I can
just say this. When I did the Chronogrammies video the first year that the Chronogrammies happened, people sent in videos to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just put them all together.
You can do that too, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's free promotion for them. It's totally a reason for them to take, you know, 30 seconds and do a little video.
If you're an editor, let me know.
Maybe you should email them and say, stop. I'm doing that. I mean, can we authorize you seated to do that for us to just email the awardees and ask them to post a video and tag us and send it to us?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Well, Sam, how was it done before? Did you make it a request?
So, in the past, I just emailed all of the awardees for the Chronogrammies, and I asked them to send me a video. It was like a virtual dance party during COVID, so we couldn't have a real party.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked them to email me a party of their staff dancing to whoever won, like, Artist of the Year, and they sent in the video, and I put them all together, and iMovie, and there you go.
You're going to send something out reminding them that the deadline's coming up, right?
Oh, yes. I've been in touch with everybody already, and I've confirmed that we're done.
Good. You can send another one out and say, deadline's coming up. Just want to let you know. And by the way, we are accepting videos that have portrayed what was done with the money the county gave you.
Sure.
Don't drive in a new Corvette either.
Yeah.
This is
or a Lamborghini.
I don't know. This is not something that. Just do it.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I have to email them anyway because I want them to give me, like, statistics and data.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
I like put
it in there.
Okay. Kevin, do you have anything else to report around this Beach Cares and or do we need to deal with this in with the CFO's report?
So I think Sam has done a great job, especially in due diligence and also kind of managing the business where final report is going to be very different to the SOP.
Okay. Let's just move this forward. I know people are chomping at the bit, so.
Yeah, I have to go to another meeting at 6.
Yeah.
So I'll start with the RLF summary for the loans. In April, all three loans we received a check for all three loans. ECAS has no late fees, fruition and bread alone. I have some late fees marked down that they owe us. I'm working with Barbara and Kevin on how best to retrieve that money if we decide to retrieve it and not forget those late fees. Then I did the February financials and the February bank reconciliations. February was one of the more quiet months.
You see that?
Which worked out nicely because I'm trying to deal with the audit right now too. And as you heard from the audit partner, I've been uploading everything that he's been requesting along with Sam. Additionally, Bonadio has reached out to me, him and Tanya. They couldn't do it for this meeting, but they want to be looking at the reports we put out for the next meeting. So I'm working with IS right now on how best to give them access to SAGE. That's what they said, that'd be the best way to kind of go about it.
Mm-hmm.
So those were the main things.
How do you feel?
About
any of it.
So the audit requests, I'm pleased that we got through most of them already. I thought it would take a little bit longer, but Sam's been helping out, so I think that made a big difference. Bonadio, they've been reaching out consistently. They haven't been able to really do anything yet, but I'm hoping by the next meeting that will have changed. So far,
so there's on the agenda, there's a possible discussion or a motion for incurred late fees. Do we need to deal with that at all?
I don't know. I mean, they have a loan. They know it's due.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Bread alone's a little bitty business with only three people working there.
And they're chasing out a multi-million dollar expansion.
I'm going to shake them at my next meeting, so I'll shake them down. How much do they owe you?
So by my calculation, it's $771.84.
A lot of bread.
So it's $1 million what?
$771.
Eight loaves of bread.
I looked and remove
all
in.
A lot of bread.
I hear that and I'm like, you know, why didn't they pay when they couldn't? $770. It's like,
so they pay by check, so it's, I think that's why, if they were on auto pay, probably be no late fees.
Have you given them that option?
That's a good idea. I haven't thought about it. I don't know what the logistics of setting that up would be, because since I started, everyone just paid by check. I don't know if we have.
What
is
it,
1967?
Mm. Easy now. 2007. Yeah, so. I mean, going forward, that might be a very good idea.
I think this is, I don't know how much more we can go into this. I mean, this sounds like a problem that's easily solvable. You just need to make a phone call or
yeah. Right. Yep. Okay.
Can we move into new business? New business resolution for execution of this code. But you want to?
Okay. Sorry. Okay. 2 meetings ago, you had the master lease and the sublease in your packet for review. That was the master lease being the lease agreement for iPark between Natural Resources and UCEDA, and the sublease being between UCEDA and Ulster County.
Mm-hmm.
That was the meeting that we decided to refresh the dates in the master lease and kind of put everything in hold. Our last meeting, unfortunately, the only thing I put in the packet was the updated, refreshed master lease with a new date. The sublease is smartly written so that it does not require, doesn't have references to the same dates that the master lease does. It just hangs, just dependent upon the execution of the master lease. So we just wanted to have this in front of you separately on its own today as for explicit approval.
And it's just the 5-year sublease, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Authorization and approval of executing the sublease between the county and UCEDA. Mm-hmm. And in the board packet is the executed resolution from the county side, so you can just see that was fully approved mm-hmm. by the county for execution in its current form.
I get a motion.
I make a motion.
Thank you. Thank you. Any further discussion?
That's the only change.
Just forgot to put it in the packet.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And old business.
Sorry. we have some due invoices from Harris Beach. We are proposing to make a progress payment toward those. Currently have about $1,000.
No, be our second progress payment. Okay. So we've paid $25,000 towards the master lease. We owe another $25,000. They have sent some additional invoices since this, but Amanda and I are still vetting them for you all, so I haven't put them up for approval just yet. So this is work that has been done, that has been reviewed by the board. It's making the final progress payment towards closing out that chapter.
Motion.
Pay them.
And the rest that we owe them already. This is a year old almost, right? Yeah, I'll make a motion we pay. So,
second. Second.
Second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
What does that mean?
Begrudging.
We've given them a lot of money.
Yes, we have.
All right.
They've done a lot of work, too, though.
Mm-hmm. And some of it they had to do two and three times.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
After we told them they
Listen,
were wrong.
Because things are changing. It's fluid. Right?
All right, we can move into...
See you.
Motion to public comment.
I don't see
we need to go into public comment. No. Is there any public?
Is there any members of the public present that would like to speak? Anybody? Members of the public?
Speak up. No, okay.
Hearing none, I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Thank you.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
At 39.
Your mark it set.
Thank you, Amanda. See you.
Hi, Amanda.
They really need this stuff in cross shop.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for being a friend.